Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
Hour number two of our show. Welcome back. Thank you very much for being with us. Wow. Vic Beasley gets a one-year deal with Tennessee, $9.5 million guaranteed with a max of $12 million. And right below that, report from Ian Rappaport, Pro Football Focus tweets that Beasley was the 85th highest graded edge rusher in 2019. Whoever's 86 has got a chance to make a lot of money. $9.5 million. All right, let's talk more football, talk a little Falcons, bring in our good friend D. Orlando Ledbetter, fine beat writer for the Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I hope you're well, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure, and we know you're busy. We appreciate you taking some time. The Raiders have just signed Jason Witten. Wow, this is I thought it was going to pop tomorrow, Daryl. This is popping pretty quick right now, right? Golly.
Well, yeah, they're getting the main stuff out of the way, and they'll sign the contract later tomorrow when it's the league year, and everybody's got some cost certainty. Everybody's sitting around with a lot of time on their hands right now.
That's right. So my question is, this social distancing, is that what Thomas Dimitroff's doing from NFL agents?
No, he's out there trying, but he doesn't have a sack full of money. I know ESPN reported that they were in on the Robert Quinn search. And
No way.
The Bears deal was just too sweet, and I'm just trying to confirm that with his agent, Sean Kiernan, before I report that. But, I mean, you know, it's a lot of stuff out there. I'm just, you know, reporting unless I have somebody telling it to me.
Yeah.
But Mitroff is laying low. You know, he hadn't been in touch with a couple agents, Marcus Golden and Melvin Gordon, yet. So they still might be making their way around to those guys. But, you know, they just don't have a lot of money, Bill.
Well, but they told us they weren't in salary cap hell there, Daryl. So I guess we have to be worried about that, right? I mean, come on, we knew that. Why did they keep on trying to tell us that?
Because they think that they have a 14-4 roster or a 12-4 roster because they went 6-2 the last part of the season, not acknowledging that those wins were against Kyle Allen, Jameis Winston, and Gardner Minshew. And you did beat Jimmy Garoppolo, and you did beat the Saints. So you won two games, basically, last year. And now you want to act like you got a Super Bowl team with no holes on it.
Have they seen their defensive depth chart? I mean, I hate to laugh, but this is like – and I believe what you're saying because I believe that's what they feel. And I don't get it. I mean, I hate to be that skeptical, but it's – they're drinking different Kool-Aid than what I am to try to see that roster as being a roster that can win games but you do wonder what they're going to do. What do you think they are going to be able to do? Is this kind of shopping down the Dollar General aisle of NFL free agency?
Yeah, maybe not even Dollar General, but a Family Dollar. Family Dollar.
Okay.
Couple items there that don't really cost a dollar there, so but they're definitely in the neighborhood of Dollar General and Family Dollar. Unless somebody does them a big favor, that's the only other thing, you know, that's out there. If Dante Fowler wants to come in like Bruce Irvin did the one year and say, hey, I just want to play for Atlanta for $6 million, you know, they could probably do something like that. But other than that, they're out of the mix on these big free agents, and we knew that, and we were calling it all from the beginning.
You were, absolutely. And why would Dante Fowler do that? He's probably going to get a pretty good deal from someone, don't you think? I think there has been reported that he has had interest in playing for the Falcons in the past, but not for 50 cents on the dollar.
No, you can't do that because you don't know how long your career is going to last.
Right.
I mean, if Vic Beasley's getting the 9-12 that's reported, I'm not getting a penny under that. You know, if I'm Dante Fowler, who's done a little bit more, he's I've got my report on him from Charlie Casserly, just waiting to drop it on how he, you know, was playing against the run, setting the edge a lot better than he was earlier in his career. And, you know, he always had the pass rush ability. So, therefore, he's no longer a liability in the run game. You know, you can play him on all three downs.
The Orlando Ledbetter is our guest. We're talking Falcons football. Daryl, earlier today it was reported that Leonard Floyd, the former Georgia football player from Dodge County here in our listing area in Eastman, it was cut loose by the Bears. Is that a possibility, you think, for the Falcons?
Yeah, I know that when he was coming out, Leonard, you know, I went up there to Pro Day and talked with him, and but that wasn't important. The big thing was Dan Quinn went up there and held a private workout with him one-on-one and called and told us about it. So it was, I don't know if it was a smokescreen back then, but they really liked him coming out, you know. Certainly him shaking free, he's going to be in that Dollar General aisle. They can do a deal with him that, he's had problems with the concussions up there and so forth and getting on the field. They can definitely do an incentive laden deal with Lynn to see if he can help out the Falcons here.
And we're talking about, obviously, the need for an edge rusher, running back, cornerback. They've talked about more interior help in the offensive line scrimmage, maybe a linebacker as well. Sure, they're going to have possibilities for the draft, but are they going to be able to fill all these needs, in your opinion?
No. We learned under Coach Smith that, hey, I was out fishing with him at one of those fishing things there, and he said, well, Daryl, you know, you can't fix everything. So, and at that point, we were talking about the linebackers. And so, you know, they knew they had to play Jop Low Bartu and Paul Warlow, and the guys they were, you know, trying to play then, because you got to have some cheap guys on the roster when you got some high guys. So, they know they can't fill everything. They're going to try to, the things they know they can find. And you know you can find a running back in the draft. So, you know, you ain't going to spend no money on that. The thing you would have spent money on was the pass rusher, okay? Cornerback, you think you're okay, with these young guys, but, you know, you could get a veteran like Bleedy to back them up just in case. So you're okay there. The glaring holes are the left guard center. In the pass rusher, there's nobody. I mean, right now, if you line up, you're going with Alan Bailey and Stephen Means opposite of Zach McKinley. So, that's not – and then you got Tyler Davidson and Grady, which is a solid run-stopping defense, but they're not going to – that's a deep, respectable front, not anything to talk about the fearsome foursome or nothing, but, you can go play with that. So they definitely need to add there. Kaminsky, Sanat, got to get better. You got to start looking at guys that can get better here. They're going to have to get better from within because you can't go out. You don't have the money to go out, and you can't really count on your draft picks to come in and play right away.
Not at all. D. Orlando Ledbetter is our guest. We're talking Falcons football. What was your take on the trade they are making to get Hayden Hurst to take over at tight end?
Yeah, I like that trade, basically because you get Hayden for, somebody you wanted coming out for, $1.75 million for 2 years to see if he can play. Well, he's going to play, and he's pretty fast, and he can catch. So I see stuff about him being able to block, and I see stuff about him not being able to block. So we'll wait and see on that. But certainly – he couldn't pay Hooper $10 million. He got 10.5 from the Browns, and you got a quality kid that has some upside to him that you like coming out.
And so who's cheap? Let's be honest. Again, as you said, if not for their salary cap hell that they're in, they probably would have not had to get someone who's that reasonably priced at that position. Do you agree?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, you're definitely looking to go cheap. That's what they're doing at running back. They're going to try to do it at cornerback, too. I don't think there's a lot of veteran cornerbacks out there on the street that played a lot in the league and made a lot of money, but will be looking for teams. So the cornerback and running back market has gone down such that they might be able to find somebody, but you don't want a guy coming in here who's upset because he's not happy with the money he's making, and then he's a locker room cancer and so forth.
The Orlando Ledbetter is our guest. We are talking about the Atlanta Falcons and what they are really facing. Are there any more players, Daryl, that we could see them get rid of either now or in June to help their salary cap situation?
Well, The only two we can see on the salary cap list would be Ricardo Allen, Keanu Neal, and Alex Mack, and Alan Bailey. And those are four guys we think they'll keep. So the only other way they can get money is through restructuring the guys at the top, and then that's Matt Ryan, Grady Jarrett, Julio Jones, and Jake Matthews. So they can restructure to get some money for somebody, which they would have had to do to be in the Robert Quinn Derby. That's how they got to get better. It's not a lot of sunshine out there with regards to the Falcons and the player acquisition pool. We can go ahead probably after this week and start shifting full speed towards the draft.
Wow. Well, it's you know, we were just talking a moment ago, Daryl, about baseball, college baseball. The obvious situation we're in now is going to make it very different for teams to evaluate players for the draft. We're not going to have the pro days. Evidently, we're not going to have the ability to do what they've done in the past. And so it's going to be real sketchy as to how these teams are going to evaluate draft talent. And I mean, you know, we'll see how it goes here in the next couple of days and weeks ahead. But we know it's definitely going to be different from what they've been used to, isn't it?
Yeah, no question, Bill. But one thing's different in football is that the scouts have been following these guys around for 2 years. So they've got scouting reports on them and so forth. The problem is that this time now is usually spent on getting the coaches up to speed on the guys. Like, hey, here are the four guys at guard. You know, which one do you like? Let's go see Chris Lindstrom at Boston College. Now that they can't go see him, they got to figure out which one they like based on paper and video. And there's nothing like meeting anybody face-to-face. So the coaches are the ones that won't be up to speed, whereas the scout, they're going to have to go on the scout's recommendations sometimes over the coaches in some of these picks in this draft coming up.
Do you like the Falcons scouting group, the staff they have? Is that, if they have to rely more on those scouts, are they pretty good in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. Scouting's only, you're only supposed to hit on 30% of them. That's where Ron Wolf taught us. And, you know, they've had some years where they hit on 80, and they've had some years and they've hit on 20. So they need to be on point here. They need a draft like the Keanu Neal, Deion Jones, Devondre Campbell draft, you know, not the Jalen Collins part of it, and not the tax draft, or the last couple drafts have been a little bit off par as far as people who can come in and help out right away.
Which of these veteran players they've had to release do you think they'll miss the most, both on the field and in the clubhouse?
Well, I think on the field, certainly Trufant. He was a steady number one corner for you. In the clubhouse, not so much. You know, he was the kind of, you know, they paid him like he was a leader, but he just kind of took care of his world. He didn't really try to help everybody else out around him and make the defense, elevate the defense. So, they won't miss that. But Devontae was a rah-rah guy they rallied around, you know, because he had, you know, been able to carry the offense at earlier points in his career. So offensively, but once a guy can't do it anymore, you know, you really can't lead anybody when you're not producing. Mm-hmm. But those are the two guys that, you know, leadership-wise, Devontae, and then on the field-wise, Desmond Trufant.
Daryl, it looks like, obviously, Cam Newton's leaving Carolina. Looks like Teddy Bridgewater's going to replace him. Possibility that Tom Brady could be going to the Bucs. How do you look at this division the Falcons are in right now?
I'm getting, you know, I've been kind of watching that quarterback thing throughout the day. Teddy going to Charlotte. I'm not worried about Charlotte because they're doing this analytics stuff with the new owner who's messing everything up with a college coach thing never works. So, good luck to them. That should be two wins for the next 4 years, the way they're going up there with their tear down and rebuild. The Buccaneers with the Patriots quarterback could be formidable. The Falcons had a rough time with them last year. They couldn't block Shaquille Barrett, JPP, and all those guys up here. Ryan got you know, beat up pretty bad up here, and then down there went to the wire in overtime and took Jameis through the interception. So they could make a big move up with Brady as a quarterback and protecting the ball and cutting that defense loose. And then the Saints, we've seen them, you know, be right on the brink of the Super Bowl the last couple of years, and get to the playoffs and so forth. So, you know, we've seen where Drew Brees' arm is the same, and they'll let Tyson Hill throw it down the field too. So they're still a quality team, have to be considered a Super Bowl contender, whereas the Falcons and the Bucks have to put some stuff together, and Carolina's clearly in rebuilding mode with the college coach and so forth.
What's your take on the Tom Brady stuff? Are you surprised that he's leaving New England?
He's 43, Bill. You know, he wants to keep playing. Sometimes, you know, no isn't the what you want to hear from your folks. And, you know, so it's going to be funny seeing him play. I saw Montana go to Kansas City. That didn't look right. Mm-hmm. I can't remember Johnny Unitas, but going away from the Colts to the Chargers, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, more recently, Jerry Rice going to the 49ers or Emmitt going to Arizona. It just doesn't ever really work out that good for the veteran. So, I mean, maybe, you know, he needs to sit down.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where he winds up. Looks like his options are kind of dwindling here, so we'll see where he winds up. The Orlando Ledbetter has been our guest. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter each and every day. He'll be very important to follow here in the next couple of days at the Orlando AJC. Daryl, thank you so much as always. We appreciate it, and stay well, my friend. And we'll need to have you on soon. You can understand that, right?
Oh yeah, no question about it. I'm there for you. Call anytime, Bill. We'll
okay.
Try to give the fans, you know, a little diversion here during these tough times.
Absolutely. All right, Daryl. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Daryl Ledbetter, our guest, best beat writer in the state, I think, does just a great job with the AJC to cover the Falcons. I don't know really what to say. I'm a talk show host. I don't know what to say and not sound bitchy about the Falcons. I mean, I hate to use that word. Forgive me.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to say to not sound what I just said about this team.
It's hard not to. I mean, the realization is, and let me just drive it home this way. Not that any of us wanted Vic Beasley back, but they could not have afforded to keep him.
And they wanted him to leave.
Right. And that's based on what he just signed for. Now, I sincerely don't think the Falcons wanted to bring him back. But it just, if you don't, I know they said they weren't in salary cap hell. You know, they haven't, it's like the Panthers. The Panthers pulled the same crap the Falcons do. Today they said they told Cam Newton he could test the trade waters. Cam Newton doesn't want to be traded. Cam Newton wants to be a Panther. Austin Hooper was not allowed to test the market. I don't know what else to say. So it just, look, whatever happens in 2020, one year from now, if you look at their salary cap situation, it is night and day better. As of yesterday, after the trade, they were north of $55 million in cap space. We just have to get through this season and then on to better things.
It's going to be a better year. I just hope someone else is making the decisions of where that money goes. That's the problem.
That's the unknown, right? That's what we don't know. Who is Thomas Dimitroff still going to be there making these decisions?
Because I don't want someone who has blatantly lied to me making those decisions. When you say, and Daryl's right, I'm wasn't going to getting on him. When you say you're not in salary cap hell, and at the same time, you believe that your team that went 7-9 for the last 2 years is really a 12-4 team because of that late surge against Minshew, you're delusional. You're absolutely delusional. And I'm tired of my football team being delusional, whether it's the damn owner thinking that he needs to keep these guys because he likes them, or the GM telling us that he's not salary cap hell when we can count just like he can, and the coach being in some la-la land for the last couple of years anyway. Delusional. There's no other way to describe it. And when they make some move here in the next couple of days, mm-hmm. that's and with all due respect to Leonard Floyd, I'd love for Leonard Floyd to come back to Atlanta. He's a former Bulldog. He's a former Dodge County Indian. That's great. It'd be great to have him. He's not the kind of player that you would think needs to be added to a 7-9 team to make that big of a difference. Change of scenery, could he make it? Yeah, he could be better. And I'm not saying that he would be a bad move, but when you're left to those kinds of moves, even when a player like Dante Fowler is not going to be able to come here because you don't have the money. Dante Fowler, who was the fourth pick in the draft a couple years ago and played with Jacksonville, got traded to the Rams, is a very good football player. I think he had 9.5 last year, something like that, 9 or 9.5 sacks. He would fit the role of what you need, and you can't afford him, and you know that he's going to want more money than what the guy you just let go got. If Dante Fowler would want twice as much as damn Vic Beasley based on ability and potential to continue to have that same ability, I'd give him, if it was no salary cap, twice as more than Vic Beasley. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
He's twice the player Vic Beasley is. And he was unhappy in Jacksonville, where he went to school an hour away. But I'd take him in a heartbeat.
There's no doubt. I mean, that is a – look, I've said it a million times. The National Football League, it's about who's throwing the ball, who's tackling the guy throwing the ball, and who's blocking the guy trying to tackle the guy throwing the ball. And right now, the Falcons don't have any pass rushers.
And there are more and more reports out that Tom Brady is going to Tampa Bay.
So all those people that think Matt Ryan's the third best quarterback in the division may finally be right.
Well, he's the third youngest. Yes. Right?
As of today, yes, sir.
If that happens, he's the third youngest quarterback, and he's, what, 35 this year? Turns 35 in May, right? Yep. Dang. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll keep an eye on what's going on in the NFL. Again, Scott Strickland, Georgia baseball coach, at the top of the hour to talk about how his team's season came to an abrupt end. Next, Steve Eubanks will talk Masters and why it's pretty historic it's not being played, at least not when it's usually played. That and more as we continue on this Tuesday, right after this. All right, I have Fox News on just to kind of keep an eye on what's going on, and CNN, just in case they decide to do news. And I looked up, and on the Neil Cavuto show right now, it's Ed Orgeron. So Ed Orgeron is telling young people we need to take this seriously, and I'm not going to be listening to it because I'm going to be doing our next interview, but I mean, I'm going to be really disappointed if I hear at the end of the interview he doesn't say, wash your hands. Go Tigers, wash your hands. That's what happens when you win the national championship. You go on Fox to talk about the coronavirus. How about that? By the way, the Georgia G-Day game has just been postponed. Now people in this state are going to take this seriously. Now. Now we know this is a big deal. G-Day is off. Forget about the Masters being postponed. G-Day is off. Speaking of the Masters, let's bring in our friend Steve Eubanks. He has covered golf forever and written how many books about golf? What's it up to now?
Well, let's see. About golf, I'm up to, I believe, 20.
20 books about golf. He does this in his sleep. I love you, Steve Eubanks. You are my hero. I wish I was Steve Eubanks when I grow up. Hey, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Hope you're well.
Thanks. It's good to be with you. I appreciate you having me.
Yes, sir. All right. Your dogs are going at it. Be careful.
Yeah.
That's quite all right. We like
part of being home with the coronavirus. So.
You're right. That's right. More dogs are going to get airtime now in conference calls and on the radio than ever before. Oh gosh. Well, first of all, what did you think about how? And forgive me, I'm kind of old school. The TPC handled everything last week. With what went on, with what they were planning to do. I mean, obviously things changed pretty quickly, but were you okay with their decision to scrap it?
Yeah, I think it probably could have come a little more immediately. They at first said they were going to play with no fans, and then within hours they simply canceled the entire event. It's very difficult for me to criticize anybody because this has all come so rapidly and you know, with kind of shock. This has been the most extraordinary time I think I have ever seen, and perhaps one of the most extraordinary times in our history, because the speed with which stuff has changed here has been just unbelievable, and with almost no warning. I mean, we knew that this was going to eventually hit our shores. But I don't think anybody expected this level of shutdown. I mean, I've been shocked by all of the things that have just suddenly gone away, just evaporated. You know, the last time the Masters was not played, 1945. Now, you don't have to know much about history to know what was going on then.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Well, it is. And there's so many different tentacles of this, sports included. And Steve, I mean, you've obviously written a lot more than just about golf in your career. But Wednesday night, I don't think I'll ever forget last Wednesday night. The president spoke, and then we heard about the NBA having a player who had the virus. Then we heard who it was, Rudy Gobert of Utah. And then Tom Hanks had tested positive for it. And it was like in that span, and then, of course, the end of the night, the NBA was shutting down. In that span of like 3 hours, our world changed, didn't it?
It really did. And, you know, the thing that is shocking to me is I don't know if it just crept up on people or if it was we realized, hey, this thing may be a lot more deadly than we thought. But, you know, I still have a lot of people who are scratching their head and saying, aren't we doing all this for the flu? So I mean, look, I think because we haven't seen it yet, we haven't seen the mass hospitalizations, we haven't seen the mass number of deaths that there have been in other countries. I'm just not sure people get it yet. And hopefully, I mean, hopefully we won't. Hopefully we've taken these steps and we won't have that level of carnage. But holy smokes, I mean, you kind of expect zombies to wander down the street at any minute because this is what we're acting like.
Well, it is scary to see the numbers. I have to admit, I'm trying to pull it up. I thought I saved it on my computer, but there was a chart I found about the number and how it's doubling every day and how it's increasing and comparing it to what's happened in Italy and Spain and so forth. And, you know, it's like I think the number of people who have it in China is 81,000. Well, they got a billion people in China, all right? And
right.
And if you look at the percentage, that's still a pretty low percentage. But, you know, it's still something that – deserves our attention, and we, you know, I tell you, I have to say this, and I'd like your thoughts on this, because obviously you live in the Atlanta area, but that airport that, I mean, even here in Middle Georgia, we're an hour away from the Atlanta airport, that's going to be kind of our biggest worry, doesn't it, with all the people coming in from all over the world?
Yeah, you would think, especially considering the Atlanta airport is one of the hubs for people who are coming back in, you know, all of those people come in and they all go through customs in that one spot. And, you know, when you're in line next to the person who's just gotten off the plane from wherever, Senegal or wherever they happen to be coming from, you got to ask yourself, okay, you know, who's he been around in the last 10 days?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Steve Eubanks is our guest. All right. So the Masters used the word postponed. What do you think will happen? And, of course, I ask that not knowing when there will be some normalcy that will return to our life, much less sports. But what do you think their hope is, Steve, in playing the Masters at some point this year? And how they handle Augusta National fit into this discussion?
Well, I think Augusta National will sort of set the tone for the rest of the golf world, certainly. I firmly believe they're going to try to get the golf tournament in. I think they're looking at perhaps October. In fact, there has been some rumblings going around today that some folks at Augusta National have asked the Augusta City Schools if they couldn't extend fall break an extra week in October, which would lend itself to the idea that people will be renting their houses out during that time frame once again. Now, of course, in October, you're competing against the NFL, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm not sure that that even the folks at Augusta National have enough pull to call CBS to break away from their NFL coverage to go cover a golf tournament. But a lot of things could change. I mean, Roger Goodell is a member out there, so you know, I wouldn't be surprised if some sort of accommodation in the NFL schedule is made to have the Masters 1 week.
Wow, that would be powerful right there.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, people wonder if Augusta has that kind of power to pull something like that off, and I just chuckle. Of course they do.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, when you look at the number of ex-presidents and senators, and you know, when you have at Berkman's place, when Condoleezza Rice is your greeter as you're coming in the door, you know, suddenly you know what kind of power these folks wield.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and we've never had anything, of course, like this period, as you said, but never had a situation where the Masters would have to go up against football. Let's just use football in general, Steve, because it'd be high school football, we hope now, on Friday night, college football on Saturday, NFL on Sunday, and it'd be kind of interesting to see how the Masters would stack up against that, but it's amazing. October would be amazing. How do you feel, or what have you read or heard about what the golfers on the tour, how are they going to continue to prepare and get ready for when they have to get going? I mean, obviously, I mean, I saw golfers out today, so the people are still playing golf. It's not like a group of 10 golfers you got to worry about. But do you think they'll try to continue to play on a regular basis? Have you heard how that might go forward?
Well, I know, you know, many of them are attempting to just kind of get out and practice and stick to their normal preparatory routines, but they have no idea when they'll be back. I mean, there is an announcement coming from the PGA Tour this afternoon that's likely to cancel all of the events through the month of April. So this could take us all the way up to the PGA Championship in May, and you got to ask yourself, how does the PGA Championship in May conduct that operation? I mean, we were talking about being sheltered in place for at least 2 months. That runs you right up until the PGA Championship. And, you know, I got to tell you, we talked about when the Masters was last canceled. The PGA Championship played in 1944 and 45. 43 was the only year they canceled it.
Wow, really?
We're in a World War II comparisons now, and that's a place I never thought we would be.
Absolutely. Steve Eubanks is our guest, and you just wonder about if they'll be played at all. And heck, I mean, you also have to wonder about the British Open. Would people want to fly over there? We don't know how long this is going to last as far as the restrictions on flying overseas. That may last longer than anything that happens domestically, and I mean, that may put the British Open in, if not Jeopardy, Steve, it may be a whole lot different situation than it usually is if a lot of the stars aren't going to go over there.
Well, yeah, and then the other thing you have to wonder about is you know, it's not as if this is happening in every country at the same time.
Right.
You know, it started in China in mid-December. It made its way sort of through several of the Asian countries. It's just arrived in Singapore, where they have basically shut the island down. And we're just dealing with it here now. So, I mean, how many countries? India, it has very low rates right now. So you've got to wonder, is everybody on a kind of a revolving cycle as to when this thing happens? And then you take an international event like the British Open, and it can start the whole thing anew. So I just don't see them being able to do stuff like that.
I don't either. I really don't. And there's no way the PGA Championship will be held in a couple of months. If we're talking about 2 months, that curve that they talk about on the task force would have to be so flattened by mid-May. I mean, Steve, they're talking in baseball, as you've probably heard, late June or July. We're talking about half the season being popped for this, and they're hopeful probably they can even do that by the way that we're going here. So it's the crowd size. That's the problem, right? That's what everybody's concerned about.
The concern is the crowd size and how condensed they are. You know, in baseball, you're sitting 6 inches from a perfect stranger on both sides and in front of you. So, you know, that's always been the concern in that kind of setting. Golf is a little bit different because if you wanted to gain some social separation, there are ways to do that. But, you know, when you go to a major championship, if you've ever seen the fairways at a major when one of the stars, when the leaders are coming through, it's wall-to-wall, and it's wall-to-wall down all the fairways. So that's the big concern right now, is getting in that level of proximity to other folks. And then, of course, you've got all the volunteers,
right?
Many of whom are elderly or retired, and some of whom have the kinds of medical conditions that put them at the highest risk. So it's you just don't snap your fingers and do these things overnight. I mean, if you're going to host these things, you have to be prepared and have people on the ground well in advance. And you just got to wonder how many of these things they can host this year.
I agree. No doubt about it. It's an incredible turn of events for sure. And people were kind of curious of how the golf was going to go this past week. You with no fans in the gallery and stuff. I understood, obviously, but I was kind of disappointed we didn't see just one day of that just to see how it would be and how the golfers would react to that. You know, how they would react to that, not only the silence, but just the environment would have been so different. It would have been interesting to see that, wouldn't it have?
Yeah, it really would have. And, you know, they did that one year when storms had blown through. I can't even remember which event it was, but they played one round with no galleries because of the storm damage that had been done to the surrounding areas. They didn't want trees falling on folks. But, that's, you know, never have we had an entire tournament that was just televised only, that was, you know, where you're playing in front of zero galleries. So it'd be interesting to see.
No doubt about it. Steve Eubanks has been our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at J.S. Eubanks on Twitter. And you could walk into a Barnes & Noble, you'll probably see a book that he's written, a golf book. What you working on now, Steve?
I've got a couple of books in the works right now, but I'm also doing a fair amount of golf writing. So you can go to globalgolfpost.com and see any of our stuff.
Outstanding. Hey, Steve, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. Stay well.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Steve Eubanks again talking about the impact on the golf world. Wow, October. I just can't imagine that. What kind of weekend would that be? Yeah, and not to mention the fact, if it's October, I mean, you would hope at that point we'd have baseball playoffs going on, right? So baseball playoffs, NFL, college football, that's one heck of a weekend. I don't believe it. I'm sorry.
Well, and you know, it's the TV side of it. How do you, because CBS wants to broadcast their game, CBS wants to broadcast the Masters, and, you know, if it was ABC, they could just throw it on ESPN. If it was NBC, they could throw something on NBCSN. I don't think CBS has that. Well, I guess CBS Sports Network.
CBS Sports Network. Yeah. But what's the carriage? I don't know how many people have that.
And I'll say this, too. Roger Goodell may be a member at Augusta National, but he's going to do what those 32 owners tell him to.
Oh, yeah. He is. It'd be interesting to see how it work out, no doubt.
Be a fun weekend if they could pull it off.
Oh, man. You need more TVs in your house if that's going to be the case. All right, we'll take a break, come back. News that Major League Baseball is doing something very nice, and we'll check to see who's not signed with the Falcons, that and more. I just need to stop. I need to stop. I need to stop sounding so bad about the Falcons team. But I see player after player after player signing with the Bengals, signing with the Raiders, signing with the Colts over and over again, and I'm like, who the heck is going to sign with the Falcons? Somebody on Sunday, you know, Nobody's looking.
Well, we're at an auction and all the good stuff is going right now. It's above our, you know, we don't have that kind of cash in the envelope.
We're like Fred Sanford at that auction he went to when he and Lamont. Do you remember that episode by any chance? That was a great episode of Sanford and Son. And if you don't know it, you'll probably know it by the end of this month.
Yeah.
As you watch Sanford and Son, which is great. That comedy stands up, and it will hopefully as long as I live. All right, we'll take a break. Back with don't forget now, Scott Strickland, top of the hour, Georgia baseball coach. We'll sob with him. Back with more after this. Oh yeah. There is no way. Anyone listening to this show on the radio will call me up and tell me that show right there is not funny. No way, right? I mean, have you ever heard? I mean, there are shows like some people say I didn't get Seinfeld, or I didn't like Friends, or even Cheers. There is no way that if you have watched any episodes of Sanford and Son, you can tell me that's not funny.
Yeah. No, if you didn't get Red Fox's humor, you just don't have a sense of humor.
Awesome. Man, brilliant. Awesome, awesome show. You can say things like, I like the Jeffersons, but not the newer episodes. I like the older episodes. That's me. I love the Jeffersons first 5 years. Years 6 through, 11, Chris? I think trash, awful, not very good. Didn't like it. My opinion. you can say that after Arnold's burned down on Happy Days, those episodes were not very good. I agree with you. But you cannot say that Sanford's Son is not funny. There's just no way. Any of them. All right, couple of things. First of all, the PGA Championship has been postponed. It was just reported on Twitter. An official announcement is expected shortly, but as we were just talking about with Steve Eubanks, the PGA Championship for May has been postponed. No big surprise. There's going to be a lot of postponements. And if you did not hear right before the beginning of the previous segment, the G-Day game is canceled. We were talking about that with Rod earlier. Spring football not being, I mean, I know like Tech got in a couple of days. They're going to have to give more days in August. They're going to have to.
Yeah, no.
They have to, don't they?
I think so. Especially for places that have new head coaches, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Florida State come to mind.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I think they're going to have to adjust the recruiting calendar if they can as well, because we're basically in a dead period all over again right now.
Mm-hmm.
And look, these are those circumstances that are out of our control, and it just sucks. There's nothing you can do about it. But it really sucks for early enrollees right now, because not only are you not going to be able to go through spring practice, you're not even getting acclimated to college life right now. Mm-mm. It's not the end of the world. They'll enroll in the summer and get their feet up under them. But
we hope.
There's a reason that high profile high school football players, you know, bust their ass in high school to graduate mid semester or mid year rather in December, so they can go ahead and enroll in school. And for all those kids that put in that hard work, it was for naught.
There's so many different angles of this. It's incredible. Scott Strickland, again, top of the hour to talk with him, the Georgia baseball coach. We'll have him in about 10 minutes. Was just told on the secret text line, not by Les, he's gone from there. But Kroger is now going to be closing at 9 o'clock every night. Their hours are going to be 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. So those needing toilet paper... 8 a.m. is when you get in. Well, 7:50 is when you get in line. I still don't get that, but whatever floats your boat. Have you seen the things on Facebook about people playing cards with toilet paper as the currency?
No.
Not chips, but toilet paper.
So like, you know, 2-3 weeks down the road when nobody's buying toilet paper because they all stocked up on it, are we going to see toilet paper prices drop because the demand's just not going to be there?
I hope so, because some of that stuff's really expensive.
Because everybody's going to have some. Yeah.
Macy's is also closing all of its stores. Well, considering the one in Macon is closing anyway, who cares?
And also, I don't know if any of the grocery stores around here are doing this, but I have seen in other places they're doing senior hours so that the older people can go in separate from everybody else and get what they need, which I think is a great idea.
I do too. Boy, that's really nice. Yeah. Let it be at 5 a.m. They wake up that early anyway.
Right?
That's really good if they do that. That yeah. really is.
But I mean, that's just, you know what? And I mean, you and I have been through, went through September the 11th, and you know, Steve Eubanks, our previous guest, was talking about World War II. In these situations, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, and I think people are starting to be reminded of that. This is what America becomes. We just start helping each other out. That's what we've always done.
Always. Doesn't matter what color you are, what nationality, doesn't matter. What political party, doesn't matter. Speaking of that, Major League Baseball has just announced that all 30 of their teams are committing at least $1 million to be able to help members of the ballpark employees who will be affected by the delay of the start of the Major League Baseball season. All 30 teams are going to have $1 million go toward paying the ballpark employees. And you got to think, I can't imagine how many people are probably in the course of a day or a game are employed at SunTrust or Truist Park. I don't know, 500? Maybe.
At least, I would think, yeah.
So, you know, some of those people depend on that money. Some of it's extra money. But some of that money is extra money to go toward whether it's paying for their kids' education. I mean, that's their business, but you know, I doubt all of those people are living off that money, but some are living the way they want to live off that money, and therefore it's important to them.
Yeah, well, and I knew people when I lived in Charlotte, there were a lot of people that, especially for Speed Weeks, when it was the first race at Charlotte and then the All-Star race and the week in between, I mean, like, that week is what was the difference between them living check to check and living comfortably.
Sure.
You know, and then there were some people that had situated themselves to live with very necessary means, kind of like what we're doing right now, that was enough to sustain them for the most part, and they did some other seasonal stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people like that.
We see that a lot in Atlanta, Russ, with people who are at Truist Park who are also at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Mm-hmm. Walter, you know, the usher everybody loves so much at Truist Park, he also, for some reason, is at Georgia Tech during football games to do that.
Well,
so,
he's smart.
Yeah, right.
Really intelligent.
So, you know, that's kind of how they, and he's also does the Falcons too. So, you know, now that kind of money's not going to be available to those people. And if you haven't heard, there's a possibility we're all going to get a check. So
we could afford the toilet paper, right?
Yeah, right. That's right. Just hand that toilet paper out. That's important. One of the teams that got really impacted, of course, by what's happened with the NCAA is the Georgia baseball team and every college baseball team, for that matter. Georgia, in the midst of a very successful season. When we come back, Scott Strickland, the Georgia baseball coach, will join us. We'll talk about how his team found out about it and how he's handling his players from afar of not being able to play. That and more as we continue here on the Bill Shanks Show.